Christians have called this Palm Sunday. And I want to look at a few key questions. Why this day? Why did Jesus come on this particular day? Why did the crowds come and welcome him so openly, only later to be yelling, "Crucify him," in the same week? What was significant about this time? So the first thing we're going to look at is this event called the Passover, because this took place during the Passover week. During the Passover week. Now, I understand many of you, I hope, have a somewhat of an understanding of what the Passover is all about. But we have to remember, during this week, during this time, leading up to the crucifixion, that this is a Passover week. Every year, the Jews celebrate this day, what they call the Passover. And it's happening now. It is at this time of year that the Passover is being remembered and celebrated. The first time we see this Passover is way back in the book of Exodus. It's after God had called a man by the name of Moses to go down to Egypt and to stand before Pharaoh with his brother, and to say, "Pharaoh, let my people go. This is what God has said. This is what God has said to tell you. Let my people go." And every time he said no. So God sent the signs, or the plagues, the 10 plagues. Do you remember some of those plagues? What was one? Frogs was one. That was the second one mentioned. What else? Okay, I hear locusts, water to blood, that was the first one. Frogs, there was one of flies, grasshoppers or locusts in particular. There was darkness, that was the ninth one. There was one where the livestock died. There was one, a most uncomfortable one, the boils that covered the body. And now, the 10th one, which was the most harsh, the most severe, the most devastating one that they were to face. The 10th one. Let's take a look at Exodus 11, verse 4 to 5. In Exodus 11, this is after all the 9 plagues had come and gone and taken its toll on the people. But each time, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And he said, "No, I will not submit. I will not yield to God." In verse 4 of Exodus 11, then Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals." And this is it. This is the 10th plague. And it's somber. It's ominous. It is a big one. And he's warning them, this is what's going to happen. Yet we see God also provided protection for those who would believe in him. God brings this is God's character. He brings protection from his judgment, if people would just believe in him. We see that even in the ark, when God sent a great flood to cover the world and destroy the world. But God provided protection for those who would believe him. We see in verse 21 of chapter 12, Moses says to pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. This is the first time we hear him referring to a Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the 2 doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. This is what we refer to as the Passover. The Lord was to come and he was to pass over the houses that had this mark over the doorpost. That mark, of course, being the blood of the Passover lamb that was sacrificed, that gave its life to protect the people that were in that household. They had to obey the Lord. They had to believe what God had said. Any Israelite that says, well, I don't think it's a problem to worry about, and they don't do this, they would have suffered with the Egyptians. But God provided a way of protection for those who believed him. And we know this story. The Lord came through, and the firstborn of every house that was not covered with the blood of the lamb, the blood of the Passover lamb, the firstborn of every house died that night. And there was great wailing and crying in the land of Egypt, so much so that Pharaoh called for Moses in the middle of the night, and he told him, go. You go now. And then they were told, the Israelites were told, to always remember this day. We see in verse 43 of Exodus 12, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. And then it goes on to explain how they were to observe it year after year. And to this day, they continued to observe the Passover, the time when the Lord passed over those who were covered by the Passover lamb. We today understand that this event was a shadow or a picture of something greater that was to come. That, of course, being Jesus Christ. For we see in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul describes it this way, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He says, we have a Passover today, and we don't continue to observe this Passover, for we have the Passover that is Jesus Christ. He is our Passover lamb. Christ was our Passover. He was the one that was killed, and his blood applied to the doorpost of our heart, if you would, by faith. And consequently, death passes over us as well. We don't need to fear death any longer. We are no longer victims of death. We no longer have to fear it. Paul puts it this way in verse 55 of 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or hell, where is your victory? Where is your victory? And the rhetorical question is, it's gone. It's been defeated. Jesus Christ defeated the grave, and we no longer fear death because of our Passover lamb, that is Jesus Christ. Okay, back to our event, Palm Sunday. And why is it called Palm Sunday? Because that is what the people greeted Jesus with when he entered into Jerusalem. And they threw down the palm branches in front of him. They lined the road with these palm branches. This was the time when Jesus came into Jerusalem. It was during the Passover week, the beginning of Passover week, but not just any day of Passover. This leads us to the next point, and that is a day called Lamb Day. The Lamb Day. The Israelites were carefully told when and how to select a lamb that was to save them from death during the Passover. Now back into Exodus again. God had told Moses that he's going to come through the land of Egypt and he would strike the firstborn of every household, from man, woman, down to the animals. Every household that was not covered with the blood of the Passover lamb. But he tells them what to do. Back in Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. So a couple of smaller households could come together and do this together. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So you select this on the 10th day of this month. You keep it till the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So they have to keep this lamb, take care of this lamb, look after it until the 14th day, and then it is to be sacrificed as the Passover lamb on that day. It says on the 10th day of this month. What month are they referring to? In Exodus 13, it tells us on this day, Exodus 13, verse 4, on this day, you are going out in the month Abib, in the month of Abib. Now we understand and we know that this was the name of the month that they were in at this time, and it was later changed to a Babylonian name of, you know what month we are in now? The month of Abib, but it was changed to Nisan. Okay, Nisan. You didn't know that the Bible is full of car names, did you? The month of Nisan. You all have heard it. The early church New Testament, they were all together in one accord, right? I guess some of you haven't heard that. But now, this is the month of Nisan. Or if you're from America, it's Nisan. Nisan. Nisan's the first month of the Jewish calendar. It's the beginning. And the lamb was told had to be kept without blemish, and it had to be a male in the first year of its life. Without blemish means not sickly, not damaged in any way, never had broken anything, but perfect. They had to select this. You couldn't take a lamb that looked like it was really sick, going to die anyway. Let's give this one in sacrifice. It had to be a perfect lamb. They kept it for the next 5 days until Passover. Then it was sacrificed. I don't think it's just a coincidence that this is the day Jesus comes to present himself to Jerusalem, to his own, to his people. And if there's any group of people that should have recognized the Messiah when they saw him, it should have been his own. They should have understood. They had the scriptures. They had the prophecies. They should have been looking and recognizing these signs, but they didn't. Through ignorance, through ignorance or stubborn unbelief, they didn't recognize Christ when he came. But this is the day that Jesus came to present himself to the people. Remember the words of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus. We read this during the offering time in John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He acknowledged Jesus. He knew Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew the scriptures, and he was waiting for the Messiah, and he knew that he was coming. And he was preparing the way for this Messiah. And he acknowledged that this is the Passover lamb. This is the Lamb of God that was coming for the sins of the whole world. He called him this lamb, the Passover lamb. Writer, teacher, Ray Vanderland, some of you know him. in the death and resurrection of the Messiah, he stated, it's almost as if God was saying, here is my lamb, will you choose him? This is the day, this is when the people were to select a lamb for their sacrifice, for the coming Passover. And they were to keep this lamb and then sacrifice him on Passover. And along comes Jesus, and they didn't recognize this is the Passover lamb. This was Lamb Day. Now enters Jesus, the Lamb of God, and somehow they just did not get it. Let's see the crowd's response, though. We have their response written in the book of John, chapter 12, verse number 12. It says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Now, this is where some of our Bibles might have it, a headline of it, of this passage, of this paragraph, a headline that says, the triumphal entry, Jesus' triumphal entry. The crowd, they got together and they began to shout together, Hosanna! Hosanna! It was meaning, God, save us. Save us. So with this triumphal entry and with the crowds coming and putting the palm branches down and shouting Hosanna, why do we see in Luke 19 that as Jesus came near during this coming into Jerusalem, as he came near, he began to weep over them. And he made this statement, if you had only known the things which make for your peace. And as he saw the people, he saw Jerusalem, and he wept over them. The people had other reasons. They had other motives. Back in John 12:17, it says, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. Now, earlier in the book of John, they describes that they tried to come and take Jesus by force so that he could be their new king. And Jesus escaped that. And so he comes in, and they saw what Jesus had done. And the scripture says that they had heard of this raising of Lazarus, and many saw it, but some had just heard of it. And then they see Jesus coming. They thought maybe Jesus had a change of mind. Maybe things were different. Now he was ready to come and take back the throne. They saw this sign that he had done. They heard of the amazing things. They heard of his amazing signs and wonders and the things that Jesus could do. Others had other reasons to be watching Jesus, though. We see in verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone out after him. The Pharisees were plotting and wanted to see Jesus arrested and killed. That was their desires. But now they see what they describe, the whole world has gone out after him. They can't take Jesus. Now there'd be a huge riot on their hands. And so they were watching Jesus. They weren't welcoming him in, but they were watching him closely. And they were disturbed by what they were seeing, how popular he seemed at the time. And they couldn't take him at this time. It messes up their plans. But the majority of the people were simply looking for this Messiah, their understanding of what the Messiah was, to rescue them from the Romans. They didn't understand their real need. They didn't understand what the Messiah was all about. The palm branches that are often thought of by us as a symbol of peace, but to the Jews, This wasn't just a symbol of peace. It was their nationalistic symbol. It was almost like our silver fern. It was what says, we are New Zealanders, we are Kiwis. And to them, they were declaring publicly that we are Jews and we want our own freedom and to rule our own country and affairs again. And this is while they're under the watch and protection, but watch of the Romans. And before this particular day, there were countless times when Jewish zealots would stir up the people against Rome. And Rome had to come down heavy-handed on them, and they were not reluctant to shed blood to keep the peace in Jerusalem. And so even at this time, the Romans would strengthen up the troops a bit in the area to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And so the people, though risky, they started shouting, God, save us. And they started declaring their allegiance to this Jesus. And I'm sure it got the attention of the Romans. Again, Vanderland states this. He says, for the Jews, Passover was a religious observance and a celebration of their liberation from Egypt. During Jesus' time, it also became an opportunity to express their longing for political freedom from Rome. In fact, Jews claiming to be messiahs had so often caused riots during the Passover that the Romans brought extra troops into Jerusalem at that time, and they would not hesitate to shed blood to keep peace. So this was the people's response that we see during this day that we call Palm Sunday, during the Lamb Selection Day, during the Passover week. We see their response, their misunderstanding. And Jesus, as he looked out over Jerusalem, he wept. He says, if only you had known the things that make for peace. If only you had known what the Messiah is all about. If only you had known the scriptures. Some had the response of, save us from the oppression of the Romans here. Others had the response of frustration because this was ruining their plots to take Jesus by force and to arrest him, to kill him. So the question this morning becomes, what is your response? What is your response to this, to Jesus, as he presents himself as the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb? Will your response be like the crowd? The crowd, they knew the Bible. That is, they knew their Old Testament scriptures. They knew of the Messiah to come. But their response was, how is this going to benefit me? That's what their response really was in the end. How is this going to benefit me? If I pledge my allegiance to this Messiah, to this one, is he going to deliver us from the oppressiveness of the rule around us and bring back our freedom as we would be able to live our own lives in our own country, our own way? How is it going to benefit me? They wanted relief from their immediate issues that they felt was most important. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people calling them Christians, even today, fall into this category. That is, okay, I'm interested in these things of Christianity. I'm interested in Jesus Christ, but what is it going to benefit me? If I give my allegiance to Jesus, I want to get something out of it. Now, my friends, one who truly comes to Jesus in faith, oh, there's great benefits. There's great benefits. But we cannot look to Jesus in an attempt to be able to use him for our gain and benefit. The benefit of Jesus Christ is peace with God and the eternal life that he gives to us. And the fact that no matter what happens in this life, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But if you think that trusting in Jesus means you are exempted from every earthly trial and difficulty and frustration and any hardships, then you misunderstand the Messiah. You misunderstand the purpose of the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God. So we see the response of the crowd is, what benefit is this Jesus giving to me? And you see that very clearly later when they realize he's not going to just deliver us from the Romans. And then they shouted with everyone else, crucify him. And you see how fickle and how quickly they changed. So will your response be like the crowd, or will your response be like the Romans? They didn't believe in any Messiah. In fact, the idea was an affront to their power that someone could possibly threaten them. This could be likened to unbelievers who are slaves of the world and the world system today. They can't accept this truth that the Messiah came or that they have need of him. And they reject them as such. Will your response be like the Romans? Will your response be like the Pharisees? The Pharisees were a group that were present at the time as well, but they were so self-righteous. They were self-righteous. They also knew the scriptures, but they thought that they were pleasing to God because of what they did for God, or so they thought. They lived pretty good lives. They gave, they tithed, they prayed, they went to the temple regularly. They were faithful in all these things and more. But yet, over and over again, Jesus looked at them and he was very harsh and stern with them. He says, on the outside, you look good. On the inside, you're dead. You don't understand your need. You don't understand your need for a Savior. So will your response be like the Pharisees? Or will your response be like this? This is a good example of a response. And we see this response in Luke 23. This was later in the week, at the crucifixion. In Luke 23, verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. Okay, so Jesus was hanged on the cross. He was hanged between two other criminals. They were also there to die for their sin, for their crimes that they committed. But one of them blasphemed Jesus, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Oh, this is a response that God is looking for. This is the response that we need to have. This one that was hanging with him acknowledges his own sin. He said to the other guy, he rebuked him and says, well, why are you saying this? We indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds. Says, we deserve to be here. We've done wrong. We're sinners. We're getting what's just. And he acknowledges Jesus. He acknowledges who Jesus is. And simply, and only in this few short words that we have here, he says, this man has done nothing wrong. He doesn't deserve death. He hasn't sinned. We have. And then he looks to Jesus and he refers to him as Lord when he says, Lord, remember me. And so he acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord. And what do we have in response to this confession of his faith? We have Jesus assuring him of salvation. We have Jesus saying to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me." That man trusted in Jesus. That man was saved. He acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah, the Passover Lamb. He was the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God chose to be the Lamb for us. This is our response. As Christians, this needs to be our response. This is the day of the choosing of the Lamb. And God chose Jesus to be that Lamb for us. Will you ignore him? Or will you accept him? I'd like to invite you to stand with me, please. With your head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to see an affirmation, a response here this morning. Have you personally received this, the Lamb of God? Have you personally acknowledged that Jesus is that Passover Lamb that God sent for our sins? Have you put your faith and your trust in him completely? Can you testify with me this morning that yes, by the grace of God, I am saved? Jesus Christ is my Passover Lamb. If that's your testimony, raise your hand where you are. I have trusted Jesus. He is my Passover Lamb. See, many hands, some are not raised. Amen. Thank you. So many. For whatever reason, if you didn't raise your hand, why? Have you trusted Jesus? Or have you had a different response like some that we've read this morning? Is there anybody here who might say, "Pastor Ken, I haven't received Jesus Christ as my Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God"? Pray for me. Pray for me. I am concerned. God is working in my heart too. Just pray for me. Is there anybody like that that would say, "Pastor Ken, just pray for me at this time"? Pray for me. God is working in my heart. I want to trust that Jesus is my Passover Lamb. We'll take just a few minutes, a few moments, to give you opportunity to pray between you and the Lord. If you'd like to come forward, you may. If you raised your hand a moment ago, take that time now, afresh and anew, with this understanding of once again that Jesus is our Passover. Just say, "Thank you. Thank you, my Lord, my God. Thank you." Let's pray together. Lord, at this time, as we acknowledge this Passover week, as we acknowledge this selection of the Lamb, and as we see Jesus, the Lamb of God, presenting himself into Jerusalem, as he went knowing what was before him. He went anyway. He went willingly. We thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice he made. The Bible reminds us no man took his life. He gave it. He laid it down. He was our Passover. So that we no longer have to fear death, because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you for this. May we live for him. As he died for us, may we live our lives for him every day. And this week, Lord, may our thoughts be directed toward this time and what he did for us. As we come together Thursday, as we remember his death as the Passover lamb, that he laid his life down for us, I pray that, Lord, we would just be drawn to him all the more, more committed to our Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. Brother Bong is coming for a few announcements, and which reminds me, just keep Mike and Gina in your prayers. They are having a short visit back in North Carolina with family and some churches, so remember them for the next few weeks. Brother Bong, thank you. Push the button, hold the button. Is it green?
Yeah. Hello. Hi, thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message. And why do you always come to church every Sunday? Why does Christians want to go to church every Sunday? We would like to always hear the gospel message, the very reason of our being. And it is our duty and responsibility and our honor as a Christian.
Amen. Thank you, Bong, for helping out this morning. I appreciate it. Let's pray, be dismissed, get some tea, coffee, and get ready for our study time. Adults in here, kids club, and various places in the back. Let's pray together. Thank you, my Father, for your word to us this morning as we were reminded of this time and what was happening and what we are remembering as we remember the Passover lamb, the selection of the lamb that was to be presented. And we thank you that at the right time you gave Jesus as that Lamb of God, our Passover. May we live for him, Lord, as we leave this place. May we be ever mindful of his presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.